you'll turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, and the third chapter. That's where we'll begin our study, Exodus chapter 3. And if you will, read with me the first six verses from Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him and from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You know, one thing that you'll find in many churches of Christ today, as you look at local works, is that there's a decline in numbers. And I recognize tonight that in many places you'll find that there are people that are not committed to God. You remember some of you years ago that when they had a gospel meeting would last 2 or 3 weeks. And many times you would find they would baptize 45 or 50 people. But in our day and time, it's rare to baptize any. And you can recall maybe a day when on Sunday mornings attendance and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights were very similar. And yet, my friend, in our day and time, you'll find in a lot of places, there's quite the drop-off. And someone may say, why is that? Now, I recognize that some people may have reason why they cannot be here, and that's one issue. If someone has to work, if someone has something that they must do, that as the Old Testament said, the ox is in the ditch, that's one thing. But I'll tell you one thing that I'm fearful of, is not that being the problem. I think the problem is, you'll find that many people are not committed to God. I'm not talking about being committed to some man. I'm not talking about being committed to some church. I'm talking about people being committed to God Almighty. And this evening in our study, let us go back and look at Moses and learn some lessons about commitment. And after I begin this lesson, maybe this is something I should have preached on Sunday morning. As we look at the fact that we need to be committed to the God that we believe in, the God that we serve, and the God that we preach. The first thing I want to bring to your mind is, who is this God? Go back to the book of Exodus for just a moment and the third chapter and look at the question that was raised. In Exodus chapter 3, notice as Moses is there, notice that God identifies himself. Moses is wondering, who is this? And notice God said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I want you to recognize tonight that here is God. And the question is, who is this God causing this bush to burn? And look at his answer. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses understood he was talking to the Almighty God, the true and living God. He knew who God was. Growing up in Egypt with his mother as his nurse in Pharaoh's palace, she would have told him about God and the promises of God. And so who is this God? He's the God of heaven. But then secondly, look at the question in verse 11. When you go back to the book of Exodus and you look again in the third chapter, notice if you will, Moses said, Who am I? First he wanted to know who is God. Now he wants to know who am I? And notice that I should go to Pharaoh and then I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. I want you to look at this man and he wants to know who am I, God, to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let your people go. Then if you take your Bible, you can turn to Exodus chapter 4. And when you come to Exodus chapter 4, you'll find Moses offers up excuses. And time will not give us to look at everyone, but just look at one in verse 10. Moses said, "Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you've spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Notice, he said, "Who am I to go?" And notice the Lord said, "You're not of them who are against me. You're one of my people." And God tells Moses, "You go. Take Aaron your brother as your mouthpiece, but you go. You are my servant. You are to be committed to me. You are to be the one to go and to tell Pharaoh to let my people go." But then if you take your Bible again, look if you will in verse 11. In verse 11, after he said, "Who am I?" Look at the latter part. "That I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt." In other words, what is my purpose? Notice he said, "What is it that you're wanting me to do? Lead the people out of the Egyptian oppression?" He's saying, "That's too great for me." And here is a man who is looking at God, but the problem is he's not looking at the greatness of God. He's not looking at how great and awesome and powerful God is, but he's looking at his own limitations. But I want you to also notice the problem with this man was that it was a lack of commitment. Now, I want to take that, and I want us to think about tonight the lesson here. I want you to think about the question, who is this God? Who am I? And what is my purpose? The first thing I want us to think about is you can't be committed to God until you know God. We just sang the song, "Do You Know My Jesus?" And I'll tell you, that's a very important question. You cannot be committed to God until you know how powerful God is. If you take your Bible, look at what Jesus prayed in the book of John and the 17th chapter. In John 17 and verse 3, he said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you." Underscore, know you. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Who is God? He said, the only true God. Who said that? Jesus. Who's Jesus? The Son of the living God. He said, "I'm the one you sent. I've been sent from the glory of heaven and I put on flesh so that I can understand man's plight, but also to be a sacrifice for his sin." We need to know God. But secondly, we need to know some things about God. When we learn who God is, we'll be committed to it. Open your Bible to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah and the 6th chapter. And when you come to the book of Isaiah and the 6th chapter, notice, if you will kindly, the vision that Isaiah has. When he looks up into heaven, it says in verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another." And notice what these seraphim who've been in the presence of God say. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." I want you to take note, my friend. God is holy. God is pure. God is without sin. God is the true and living God. And we need to understand that He is a holy God. He cannot look upon sin with approval. You remember what the prophet Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 1 and about verse 3, or verse 13, when he said, "Your eyes are purer than to behold evil and to look upon wickedness." I want to know, do you see God? Do you see His holiness? Next, do you see His wisdom? Just look at creation. When you look about and see creation, how the sun comes up and the sun goes down and the world evolves and revolves around, and how everything is done according to the pattern God had set forth in the world, I'll tell you, you see the power of God. You see the wisdom of God. But I'll tell you where else you see the wisdom of God. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the third chapter. And when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, in verse 10, he said to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known, made known, look at it, by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Have you ever thought, my friend, the wisdom of the local church and what the purpose of the local church is? Do you see God's wisdom? Do you see God's holiness? But then think about something else. In the Roman letter and the 11th chapter, notice, if you will, kindly what is stated in verse 22. When the Apostle Paul is writing, he said, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. Have you ever thought about the wrath of God? That God, who is holy and loving and pure, will also and is also a God that is full of wrath on those who do not live according to the will. And notice he is writing to the Jews and Greeks. He said, if the Jews did not believe, he said, what are you Gentiles? If you turn your back on Jesus, he will not spare you either. Now then, when I get this picture of God, it makes me realize I serve an almighty, powerful God. But then I want you to think about something else. I want you to think about the love of God. We quoted this morning John 3:16, but you find it almost in every page of the Bible. The love of God. You can see it in Romans chapter 5, where it said that God demonstrated His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see the love of God? Do you see the presence of God? In the 139th Psalm, wherever I go, David said, thou art there. Who is God? He's a holy God, a pure God. He is a God who is all wise. He's a God who's everywhere. He is a God full of love. But I want to raise a second question. Do you know who you are? Now, I want to tell you something. It's one thing to try to convince people who we are. The question is, who are we really? Open your Bible to the Roman letter in the 8th chapter. And let's answer this question according to the Word of God. Not according to the church or the preacher, but according to the Word of God. In Romans chapter 8, look in verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are called children of God. Can you say that tonight? Can you say tonight, I am a child of God. I've been baptized into Christ. I've been raised to walk in newness of life. And I'm committed to God. God comes first. God's not just a part of my life. He's not just something I have over here in a compartment. And here's my recreation. And here's my job. And here's my family. And here's God. But God's the circle. And my life revolves around God. Are you committed to God? Notice then, my friend, a second thing. Not only the question is, are we children of God? But are we living sacrifices? Look in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. When Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, watch it, a living sacrifice. Now look at the next word. Holy, just as God is. Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Then if you take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look, if you will, kindly, and notice what the Apostle Paul had to say. In verse 19, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now then, do you know you are God? Now tonight, you can be assured that you're a child of God if you've obeyed the gospel and if you're committed to God. But that brings up a third thought. Do you know your purpose? What's your purpose in life? Someone may say, well, preacher, my purpose right now is just to try to get my bills paid off. My purpose right now is to do some good things and to make sure that I've got my life in order. I'll tell you what the purpose of a person on earth is to glorify God. Notice that's the purpose of a local church. It's not the purpose of the local church to entertain you. It's not the purpose of the local church to draw people in by carnal means. The purpose of the local church is to praise and honor God. In Ephesians chapter 3, look at what Paul says in verse 21. To Him be glory in what? The church. Who are we? If we've been baptized, we are members of the body of Christ. Collectively, we are the church. We are Christians who make up the body at Eastside. And as the church, what is our goal? To glorify God. That is the goal we have. And if you understand your purpose, your light will shine and you'll give glory to God. I'm fearful that in our day and time, we're not committed to God. I'm not talking about being committed to some school or some paper or some person. I'm talking about being committed to God. And if I'm committed to God, that means I may have to stand alone. But if I stand alone, I stand alone with God. And my question tonight is, are we committed to God? Does God come first in our lives? When people start seeing Christ in our lives, then we'll start bringing people to Christ again. Sometimes I'm so ashamed when I think about how little I've done in the grand scheme of the kingdom. Have you ever thought about, my friend, we need to be committed to God? You want to know why so many people lose their faith? You want to know why tonight so many people start to drift? You want to know why tonight a lot of people start out strong and then before long their faith weakens? They're not committed to God. They may be committed to the local church. Don't be committed to Eastside. You know why? Because brethren here, as good as you are and as much as I love you, we'll let one another down. Sometimes somebody will say something hurtful. Somebody sometimes will say something that they don't mean to say or it comes out wrong. It can hurt our feelings. And people say, I quit. Well, I'll tell you something. You know what your problem is? You're committed to the people instead of to Christ. Now, we need to be committed to one another to help one another get to heaven. But if the only reason I came tonight was because of everybody else and not for the Lord, I came not for the right purpose. Now, we come together to stir one another up to good works. That's part of the reason we come. And I do not want to be misunderstood or misrepresented. Sometimes I'll say what I mean and what I don't mean, and I still get misrepresented. We do come together to stir one another up to good works. But the ultimate purpose is we're committed to God. I've had people quit, and I'll say, what's wrong? And they'll say, oh, this brother just said this about me. I'll tell you something, my friend. You think that's going to fly in the day of judgment? Oh, this person hurt my feelings. After they nailed Jesus to a cross, you think he's going to say, yeah, I know. Oh, no, my friend. The problem today is a lack of commitment to God. Don't be committed to a preacher. Preachers come and go. Don't be committed to anyone except God. And we commit to one another because of our common faith, and we're helping one another get to heaven. You're blessed at Eastside to have elders to oversee you, and we're blessed to have men and women here who love the Lord. But I'll tell you, we need to be helping others stay committed to God. I'll never forget a friend of mine in Nashville, Tennessee. Someone kept coming for money and kept coming for money and kept coming for money. And he finally said, you know what your problem is? He said, what? He said, you don't want what we really have to offer. You want our benevolence. You want benevolence. You want kindness. But you don't want Christ. And there comes a time, my friend, when we have to understand the purpose of the local church is to get people to see Christ. If we help one another, there's scriptural authority for benevolence. But I'll tell you, the purpose of the church is to be committed to Christ and to glorify Him, to evangelize and edify and equip one another to do the work of God. Question. How committed to God are you? Just how committed are you? I can't answer that for anyone but Michael Richardson. And you can't answer that for anyone but yourself. But at the end of the day, I want to know, can it be said you're committed to the God of heaven? Or are we like Moses, looking for excuses not to do the will of God? If you hear and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you do so this evening as together we stand and sing.